Hello, humans, and welcome to the Best of Audio Face 2018's Best and Worst Moments from the definitive podcast about music, news, and culture. So we decided to just throw in some clips for you guys from our best and worst moments of the year and have some laughs. Dan's over there playing with a Switch, so I have to do it all, of course, because I gotta pay my taxes, apparently. Our regular episode of the first one of this year shall drop sometime in the week. We're thinking Tuesday, but that'll be a good episode to start off the year. So anyways, why don't we get into the best ofs? So to start off, we have episode number 33, the beginning of the year, where we review Fall Out Boy, which ends up being the worst album of the year, starting off the year strong.
Let's say you're Fall Out Boy's record label.
Fuck.
Do you pay them for Mania? So Fall Out Boy's...
Oh my god, I don't know. That's honestly a good question. That was the rankest piece of shit I've ever heard. Okay, sorry, go. You gotta go.
Oh shit!
You gotta go first. Hold on. I'm gonna go mental.
Let me set it up. And so, this is one of the first large releases of the year for us to review on Audio Face. And Fall Out Boy coming in hot in 2018 with 10, I guess we'll be liberal and call these songs.
are we not 10 merciful?
10 songs. Yeah. 10 songs. It's Fall Out Boy. Sean, just take it away. I really can't.
All right. I made it through one and two eighths of a song. I literally could not listen to it because the first song, Yonan Menace, it starts out whatever, kind of, you know, wow, holy hell, I was about to say something really bad because I'm extremely tired. So Dan, I'm sorry you might have to edit some things because I was about to say something really bad, but whatever.
Okay, so full disclosure, by the way, Sean at SW Suarez, pro triathlete, kind of training right now, in the midst of, I don't know, biking up a like 70 degree angle, so he's really tired. Anyways, continue.
Right, I swam 6 days in a row. I am pretty damn tired. Anyways, this piece of shit was so bad. I literally couldn't listen to the whole album. I couldn't even skip through it because it was that bad. Yonan Menace, the first song, it starts off whatever, and I can't think of the vocalist's name, whatever the fuck it is.
I'll search it up. God rest his soul.
Because I hate his voice so much anyways, because I hate Light It Up. That's a piece of shit.
Patrick
song.
Stump.
Patrick Rick, whatever your fucking name is. He makes it into the fucking stupid chipmunk voice. He gets that auto tune and he puts it up a notch, like, you know, in My Iron Lung and Radiohead, where the guitar Johnny goes do 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 do. That's cool if it's a musical instrument, not your voice, because you're not a kid trying to make a chipmunk sound. Literally,
like,
goes,
it's like, this isn't an Alvin and the Chipmunks like soundtrack, right? This is supposed to be music, but it does that annoying EDM like chip tune thing that, like,
but
you accept from...
It's even worse than normal. It's so bad. It goes into it, and then it just literally feels like you're putting a screwdriver in your brain, swash it up a bit, spit it out, and put it back in, and that's what the fucking song is.
I immediately thought of the, like, famous scene from King of the Hill where Bobby shows Hank music, and he listens to the music, and then, like, he thinks he's into it, and then all of a sudden something happens, and he's just like, this is toilet sounds. And that's kind of what this album is to me. It's toilet sounds. Especially Young and Menace. I mean,
This is getting an award on the Audio Face 2018 Awards a year from now. For undoubtedly the worst song, worst opening song of an album. If anyone tops this, they really need to go home and rethink their life. They need to,
get rid of all their musical equipment and maybe live under it and pour water on it and plug it into a wall.
Maybe get a piano string.
They're really useful. They got a nice little thin nice for just anyways. So I like Save Rock and Roll is a Fall Out Boy album that I think I most liked, but it was still like pretty annoying. And wow, this is really bad. So I've, in the spirit of Audio Face, I listened to more of the album for the people, to see if it got better, and it really didn't. I broke the Audio Face rule where Sean and I, like economic advisors, don't speak to each other until like this day about things. But I think I told Sean that, what was my exact words? Like, it's unbelievably bad.
Something along the lines of that, and I go, okay. Like,
I knew I said it's appalling.
Yeah. And I go, all right, let me check it out. I like, oh my, I cannot believe it's this bad.
So,
oh my god.
I was going to
hold me tight or don't. Just fucking stop.
I was going to listen to the entire thing, and then Stay Frosty Royal Milk Tea broke me. That's the third song on the album. So, the first song on the album, Sean and I were just kind of in shock.
Yes.
The second song on the album, that's when Sean tapped out.
I straight tapped out within 27 seconds. Like, I'm done. I'm done. I can't.
To be fair, I made it 33 in the champ. No, I made it 45 in the champion before I skipped. And then Stay Frosty Royal Milk Tea, I just straight put it down and I started listening to another album we're going to be reviewing this week because I wanted to listen to it a second time. Not to spoil that review, but like, we'll be talking about that as well. I honestly, I like Church and Heaven's Gate. Those are the two least diarrhea parts of this entire album. Like, those are the solid stools in this diarrhea.
I'm going to take your word for it. Okay, cool. I'm still not going to listen to it. I'm just not.
I don't recommend you do. I don't recommend you do. I mean, listen, there are some horrible things that I had to listen to this week that didn't make it on the show, because this is the cream of the crop on Audio Face, usually. But every once in a while, we have to put something on a pedestal that's really popular that people are talking about and just go, this is really bad.
This is unbelievably bad.
What didn't make it on the rundown this week was the Chainsmokers. They released a new single. I don't even want to give them credibility, but I honestly have to look and think of myself. What do I hate more, the new Fall Out Boy album or the new Chainsmokers single? And both are amazing in the sense they took bands I already really didn't like and made them worse and made the sound worse in a way that I was kind of amazed with.
That's
and so,
rough.
Like, arbitrary scale, like, on a scale of failed U.S. military exercises, Mania is the Gulf of Tonkin of rock albums.
Fuck. I was gonna say it's, wow, a failed U.S. military. Shit. Shit. There's too many. There's way too many. There's so many,
this
damn.
This might be the mission accomplished.
It might be like the, it might be the, Iraqi freedom. I don't know.
Operation Iraqi Freedom.
It might be that.
Of rock music.
It might be that. It could be the full invasion of Vietnam. I can't remember what that was called.
Oh, shit.
It could be the entire the entire Korean War of rock albums.
These are like these sectarian conflicts that are happening on the, like,
the sectarian conflicts between my brother and I. Don't sleep on the boondocks.
Oh man. Okay, but yeah, overall this was bad. Don't listen to it, please. I'm sorry you spent this long even listening to us talk about this horrible album. You saved some time. It's 35 minutes, so at least it was short, but I wouldn't have known because I had to like skip through half of it to even make it that far.
Yeah, I'm done. Ooh, so bye. Bad. Fuck that shit.
You guys should listen to that. And then also the beginning of number 32 is the infamous Radiohead and Some Bitch. So that's the whole Lana Del Rey Radiohead suing thing that I'm not gonna apologize because it happened and I didn't apologize then and I'm not gonna apologize now because why not? My podcast, whatever. She was in the wrong, she stole from Radiohead, and those are my boys and I will defend them to the depths of the earth. Whatever, Lana, do you.
This is beautiful, and we've got a different like format for you. I mean, we still got our usual like our news, our unfucking ourselves from stuff that we kind of cited wrong, but didn't really cite wrong somewhat.
And then other
like little, yeah, exactly. More some beef between Radiohead and some bitch, and then some more stuff. And then we also got some recommendations that we haven't talked about because we haven't done recommendations in a little bit.
Did you see Offset as Wrong Tour?
Radiohead and some bitch. I honestly forgot I said that because I probably just said it in passing, and then just bam has been running with it. I'm like, all right, cool, I like it. My podcast, fuck it. You told Kinsey Coman to straight kill himself, so I mean, I like it.
Yeah, we're allowed to go wild every once in a while. It's not like you're a well known anti-feminist men going their own way.
But apparently, if men are friends with men, that's like the most female thing you can do.
Let me put it like this. I don't vibe with queers.
Vibe with queers. Grammy sexism against Lord. Marquis Smith the Fall dead at 16. Oh, that's right. Quest stop doing it for the culture. Pluck for Dan from the Internet 15. Wow, you have no shame. Spotify.
Alright, so we have episode number 34, which we review Culture 2, which is the beginning of the trap-dominated 2018, unfortunately. And this is where we have a really good conversation about Rock is Dead, and we talk about how we want it to evolve, how we think that it's not how it's in its wrong state right now, how it could evolve to do some better. So it was a really, really good episode, and I think that it's something that more people should talk about.
Well, let's go on to, I don't know how I'm going to segue to this, but whatever.
Culture.
Yeah, let's go on to Culture 2. Yay.
So this is going to be, so Migos, so they released an album, Culture, last year. They had, they had albums before, but like that was their big like breakout onto the scene. I would say that's when I'd heard of them at least. That went pretty well. They got a lot of like.
It was like Bad and Bougie. Yeah, it's like Bad and Bougie was on Culture because that's what kind of got them out a lot. Or at least that's when I heard about them a lot, was from that song.
And then I got The Bag with Gucci Mane. That was probably one of the better songs on that album. Mm. Gucci Mane's like 35th work in 2017 that he released.
Like 108th work.
Yeah. Don't know if that was like a mixtape, an LP, or just like, I don't know, like something on his flash drive, but whatever. And so like this has been a really hotly anticipated album, and it's 24 songs long. And the
intro, this shit's 2 hours.
It's legit 1 hour and 45 minutes long. And if you're on Spotify, I noticed, I'll explain this later, but it's really interesting because they have most of the time when an artist has like a Spotify profile and it's verified, it works and everything. The artist pick at the top of when you're scrolling will say like, oh, this is what you should listen to. It's usually their album. And so they have that as a playlist on Spotify, which is interesting because usually you would say, oh, the artist pick, Culture 2, out right now. Go click to listen to the album. But no, it takes you to a playlist. And on this playlist, like, it's a playlist created by Sean's favorite producer, Quality Control.
Jesus, Moses. Quality Control is rough. We're not going to get into that. Please, no.
Yeah, it's just an... like, I think... it's just the... I don't know what's with it, but, like, songs appear on it multiple times.
Oh, the playlist thing?
Yeah. Like, Motorsports at the top of the playlist and at the bottom. Like, I don't know, but it's some weird algorithmic shit. Let's get into the actual...
actual album. It's long as fuck. I'm taking the ropes. Fuck it, my podcast.
This is gonna be great. I'm strapped in, ready to go.
It's long. You know me and trap. Or people who don't know, I'm not a fan of trap usually. It's very, very rare that I like it. Like I like 21 Savage because he's actually has some pretty good bars. He's low key woke. So
his I like beats his go shit. Hard.
Yeah, and his stuff sometimes blurs into one. That's a really good Radiohead song. My lyric. Then some of his stuff does blur into one, but it's not as bad as most other artists. Culture the second, or Culture Two, Culture's Fi. It kind of blur into one at one point for me. Like I go, it's just so long. I go, holy shit, what is this? Also, the song with 21 Savage was really rough. It was pretty bad.
Wait, what?
Bad Bitches Only featuring 21. Oh.
What'd you think about that song?
I didn't like it. I think it was pretty rough. what was this shit? I can't remember.
I have the song. Thing.
What song did you tell me to listen? Whatever one you said something to me to listen to.
I think I might have sent. The one I thought was most.
Whatever one it was, I can't. I have to look. I can't find it right now.
I know. I'm looking, but keep talking.
Anyways, I'll just keep talking.
Yeah.
Granted, it wasn't like a starfuck like most trap albums and stuff have been lately. It's Future 21, Drake, The Goose Is Loose, Nicki Minaj, open Cardi B, Post Malone, fuck Post Malone, and 2 Chainz. Oh, and then Travis Scott, Ty Dolla $ign, and Big Sean on one song. So considering the album is 24 songs long, that's not much.
You think they were looking at the album, they're like, 24 songs, do you want to cut it off here, or you think we should, like...
Man, I was thinking, like, 34. I didn't like it, honestly. It's too much. Some of them went hard, and one of them I couldn't take seriously because it started out with, like, the weird bird skirt noises.
So that was Open It Up, by the way. Sorry, I, like, randomly blurted it out as you were talking.
Thank you. That's what it is. Open It Up.
Yeah.
It starts off with bird noises. I'm like, all right, 21 was the first one who did the first bird noise, and he did it right. So, yeah. Also, if you have Post Malone on your album, you need to go home and rethink your life.
Yeah, why isn't Post Malone blacklisted? Maybe this was recorded before that happened.
Yeah, I swear he was.
I wonder if...
Jesus Christ.
I mean, if I were Post Malone, I would just, like, let them do the, like, recorded version of his voice for this song when Migos does it live, because he's going to get booed off stage. Like, he's going to have to pull a DJ Khaled. Like, they love me too much.
They love me too much. They didn't boo me off stage. This didn't happen. Fake news.
Jesus Christ, DJ... I can't. You know that'll start me. But yeah, I'm surprised Post Malone isn't just straight blacklisted. That's funny.
He should be blacklisted. Yeah, I didn't like it. It was annoying. Whatever. Sounds like normal trap. Such a blur together. Right. That's it. Nothing special, but a lot of fucking stupid people like it, so whatever.
I think this is probably one of the best trap albums ever made.
Damn.
This is gonna be. This is why I was like, this might be a fun topic because, like, we rarely ever disagree on this show. So, like, this is gonna be really fun.
And also because, yeah, you do genuinely like there is a place for trap. I just think it's so overdone now to where I'm like every other week I'm having to listen to the same shit over and over again.
Yeah, and it's been like, I think for especially because like you're getting into it a lot more, and because of the show, like. In the mix, if you're just getting into the genre, and so, like, you're kind of getting into it slowly and on your own path, like, maybe you might, like, enjoy it more, or maybe you don't, or won't, I don't know. But also, because we're doing this show, we're having to, like, listen to a constant flow of it, because, like, it's the hottest thing right now.
Yeah.
So, like, it's just a lot. But, like, also, you have a point, and I've, like, agreed with you that trap has this problem as a genre as being very, like, repetitive. And so that... can hold true for this. I think 24 songs is a lot of work. There are definitely songs that didn't need to be in here. That being said, I think most of the songs in here were really solid. Like, this is one of those songs where, like, I talk about albums where, for genre, the whole album is so good that even one of the worst songs on the album would be one of the better songs on most other like for most other artists, if they produce an album this year, Culture 2 is actually kind of like that. And so I listened to Culture 1 after listening to Culture 2 the first time because I wanted to see like how similar they were. And I really don't like Culture 1. Other than like Bad and Bougie and the couple songs, it's really just like really repetitive, inundating trap. Like it's really not good. What I like about Culture 2 is that it's honestly taking roots from like early 2000s, like almost outcasty, like southern, like hip hop. And that blend, I hadn't thought of it before because I don't make music for a living, but that blend with trap, maybe it's just because like that's where the roots are from, but it's really working together. And so I think for Superstars, I think it works really well because I guess the way I could describe it musically, Sean, is that whereas most trap is just like BBO, Bad Bitches Only is a really good example. It's a classic 21 Savage song, which actually I kind of like, but hi, Horn. I knew that was going to happen. If I talk for a long period of time, a horn is going to be talking while I'm in the middle of a thought, and I don't feel like going back to thought, so it's not going to get edited out. Sorry, viewers, listeners. But Bad Bitches Only is a good example of like a classic like trap song, even though, right? And I said like I kind of like it, but it's like a really heavy like bass beat and then like drums that are like kind of going kind of quickly in the back, like that kind of thing. But what's different with Culture 2 is that it mixes kind of like more melodies and tones that are like kind of, yeah, it just reminds me of that era. I'm Googling an artist right now. No, that was Outkast. Like a lot of the songs on Culture 2 reminded me of songs on Outkast from Stankonia, really. And it was really weird like that, but it kind of worked together most of the time. Sometimes it really didn't. So like Nothing is, I hate Nothing more than the song Walk It Talk It, but it has Drake on it and it has Migos on it. So it's probably going to be played as much as Shape of You was in 2017.
Please, no.
So I'm going to have to keep some side eye.
But hey, it's not as bad as Shape of You. I'll give him that.
It's
Shape of You.
Worse, actually. I would rather listen to Shape of You 5 times on repeat than listen to Walk It, Talk It, honestly. I mean that as a fact. As much as I'm like enjoying this album, I mean that as a fact. Shape of You, I prefer it. But let's see. Moving Too Fast, I really love. Song 18, it's really deep end, so maybe you just like gave up at that point. But I actually really didn't feel like it was repetitive at that point. I was still really enjoying it because to the extent that some songs kind of catered to their artists, like CC Gucci Mane, I'm sorry, Bam from We Made It podcast, and maybe you'll have some other.
That's not his favorite rapper, but okay. Understand.
I know it's not his favorite rapper, but like he, like, well, he likes Gucci Mane more than I think I do, I found. And it just, all of his.
Just fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it, my podcast.
Exactly, fuck it, my podcast.
All of his collaborations are just super repetitive, and I don't like that. He's not really bringing too much, but all in all, it just does so. It's finally the trap album that does the most different with the genre, while still like remaining like really good, and like yeah, we complain about that all the time, and so I see that in it, and so I'm like really feeling good with it. I don't know how you want to arbitrary score. If you want to like rebuke, like I don't know if you have any like disagreements, but
no, I mean you listen to a lot more trap than I have, obviously. So that's why I usually go. I like to hear what you have to say, so it kind of opens up my mind a little bit more, also to what to listen to. But yeah, again, it wasn't my thing. I didn't like it, but that's just me. It wasn't the worst trap album by far, God no. I can appreciate some of the musicality of it for sure, but it's still like just really annoying and repetitive. I mean, it's not the worst, which is Quality Control. Jesus Christ, that's the worst album I've ever.
You know, made. Quality Control produced this album though, right?
Yeah, and that's probably why I hate it, honestly.
I mean, Young Metro's on a couple, but
yeah, it's not without warning, Young Metro. Or I'm like, I'm going to shoot my head if I hear Young Metro one more fucking time.
Oh, man. Speaking of doing it for the culture.
Whoa!
I just want to throw a curveball in Otto face because it's just kind of amazing. So, Questlove from The Roots is being sued for racial discrimination from The Tonight Show, according to a report.
Damn.
Yeah. Apparently, two white staffers are complaining that he asked them to be fired because he's like upset with them for some reason. Okay. And NBC allegedly complied. Questlove says that the accusations are, quote, ridiculous. It's, you know, I mean, I need to tread extremely carefully here because usually you know what my hot take would be, right?
Actually, I don't know. What would your hot take be? Let's hear it. I want to hear it.
Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. You think NBC is going to be like, oh shit, Questlove hates these two associate producers. Let's fire
them. Fire them. They don't give a fuck.
Dude, NBC let Matt Lauer have a button at his desk that locked his door so he could sexually harass women. NBC don't give a fuck. Okay? Like, that's my usual hot take. That being said, no, maybe this is just me being too much in my, like, Ben Shapiro world because I've been editing this video too long. But what if Questlove was, like, such a valuable part of NBC and NBC realized, hey, we're going into social justice culture now, and so black people have a huge say at the National Broadcasting Corporation. And if Questlove wants these two guys fired... I couldn't do it. I'm sorry.
My hands are on my head right now because this thing took off way faster than I thought it would.
Sean, what do you think?
I don't give a fuck. Whatever. Sure, he's racist. Cool. Move on, please. Foster People, their latest album, they had that trap snare on so many songs. I'm like, oh my God, like doing it for the money. I go, who the hell is this? And they said, oh, it's new Foster People. You've got to be kidding me. What?
It's amazing that was Foster People. I still can't believe that. Because it's like...
It was so unbelievably bad and disappointed me beyond belief because they made some damn good indie rock. And they kept with the stupid trap snare thing. And a lot of artists kept doing the same thing with that. And that was our whole thing of last year. Kind of the theme. And I think that's plaguing rock too. Where some people will try to change their shit. But then they go into what's popular, and you can't mix the two together without getting something very repetitive or really annoying sounding. And this, I mean, no one's made a good sound yet that blends it together, if that makes any sense. Like, Incubus released 8 this past year, and it was a good album, but it's going to get overlooked by a lot of people compared to trap, where, I mean, that's what most people are listening to now. And right. I think trap is definitely going to hit the brakes pretty hard. I think it's going to have the rock of people are going to start to realize, wow, this really starts to sound the same. I hope people do because Jesus Christ, to me, I've listened to it for 2 years and I'm like, I'm over it. This is annoying. And I think it's going to kind of have a similar trajectory of rock. So it'll be around for a while. It's not going to stop anytime soon. But I think people are going to start to grow tired of it because there's only so much you can do with it. And especially how many artists are dropping an album every year, 2-3 albums a year. That's so much music. Because rock, that kept happening too, to where you'd have so many artists. You didn't have the artists dropping an album every year or so, but you have a couple of years, but there was just an influx of artists that now it's just blended into one, basically. They staled out the genre, which happens. There's a limit of how much you can do with that. So I think they pretty much hit the limit.
I have this philosophical question that I'm wondering, like, to close out, if we could, like, if you could
Let's
help me
have
answer this, is
Let's
that,
do it.
and we touched on this a little bit, where, like, with the Radiohead Lana Del Rey thing, like, is there such a thing as too many sounds? Like, have we created all the sounds? Like, has rock as a genre been exhausted, and that's why it hasn't been being pushed forward,
Well,
kind of
as
like with.
in for rock itself, yes, because there's only somebody who plays the instrument too. There's only so many things you can do in a guitar to keep it rock sounding. Muse tried a lot in the second law, and they were, to me, they were pretty close in changing the genre in a way, but people weren't ready slash willing for it to change. Into because you know look what Matt Bellamy did with his guitar, he added like that weird crazy effect onto it. But then within this, you're basically kind of changing the genre, and it's not going to be rock anymore. But with your
Right.
traditional format, there's not much you can really do. There's only so many chord progressions. There's only so many things to where every song you it's going to be 4 or 3.5 minutes long, to where you have the opening, you have the middle, which has crescendos and for people don't speak music, ups and downs, the big climaxes going back to it, and these kind of same chords that are going to be throughout the song. You can only do that so many times before there's not much else for you to do. It's not like well, we'll get to this discussion next week, but it's not even like classical music. You can kind of infinitely write music for piano. Like, there's 88 keys on that bitch, and there's an infinite amount of music you can make for it, just about. Like, that's still not reached how much music you can write for the piano. There's contemporary, there's classical, there's modern, whatever, and it sound you can definitely make it sound different. But with a guitar plugged into a distortion pedal, there's only so much you can do.
Audio face then
What
from
the hell? I just read
audio
that. Sorry, I just read the what's on the rundown right now.
audio face is known for many things, and one thing it's known for is our interesting fascination with death.
Fascination with dead artists.
The tagline
Wow.
should have been audio face before the bodies are cold. Because for a couple of weeks there, I'll never forget how you were calling celebrity deaths accidentally. You had mentioned like a band obscurely in one week, and the next week some member of them died.
It has Allman Brothers, yeah. I did that. Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
There's like two. And then we Linkin Park happened, Requiescat and Apache, and yeah, that was rough. There's like 3 or 4 weeks in a row where that kept happening. Like, I'm just gonna stop
You made
talking.
the cut podcast in 9 episodes.
God.
Okay.
Anyways.
Frank
Ouch.
Zappa. Oh,
Fucking shit. So apparently, Frank Zappa, his hologram is gonna go on tour later this year. What
Jesus. I
in
love this
the
country.
Lord Jesus is going to happen? He died what, like, shit, 30 years ago maybe?
So, this is an interesting conversation I wanted to bring up because just in the last episode, episode 35, we talked about the whole Prince hologram and Justin Timberlake thing, and how Prince's like family was like, "Hey, let's not do this," but apparently they were a bit divided on it, and ultimately Justin Timberlake didn't do it at the Super Bowl to have this other like projection thing. This is the direct opposite of that. We're just going, "Let's just do a Frank Zappa hologram and go balls to the wall."
Seriously, no, and 25 years ago, 93. Still,
Right.
I like, what the hell? That's A, hella random. But B, why? Stop the holograms. Jesus. We did it once in 2012. It was cool, but you could tell Snoop legit thought it was Tupac for a second. Getting a little too much of that Susquehanna weed. And yeah. This might get out of hand very quickly.
So you're still very much like firmly on the side that you don't like the idea of these like posthumous hologram performances, unless they're like, I think we came to a middle
Unless they
ground
do
on
it.
how specifically planned they are. I think that was like our middle
Exactly.
ground. But specifically planned they are by the artist. Like how basically if the artist consented to having the posthumous performance. And
Zappa's son, apparently, and maybe that's an interesting thing. Do you think that Frank Zappa's son should have the right to kind of say what goes on? Because he has the seal of approval on it. He says, "My father and I actively discussed 3D and holography, and it was a concept he actively engaged in. He actually devoted half a chapter in the Real Frank Zappa book to the subject. This is a love letter in the journey to celebrating the genius artistry of Frank Zappa. On a personal note, I feel like I'm finishing something my father started years ago." So this might actually be that line here, where he may have, like, kind of approved of it. Because, again, it's so long ago that he couldn't have said, "I want a hologram, and I want people to be able to take selfies with." Like, we didn't know all of the terminology, but...
Right.
This is an interesting line. He didn't know the exact idea, but it's not hard to extrapolate that he want, like, not that he wanted to be a hologram, but that he was interested in the technology and, like, was something he was passionate about. Is that enough of a jump to make me one? What do you think?
Shit. It's hard. It's not like Prince, which we were about to get to, which he says no go.
Well, that was just like a side note, really, because I forgot to mention that Prince actually really hated holograms.
Yeah, I didn't
and he
know
hated
that.
The idea of them. And so, yeah, I didn't know that last week either. I just learned that researching this. And so, that's like probably an extra reason why it's a good thing that Justin Timberlake didn't do that. But back to your point about this, not to cut you off.
Yeah, I mean, if... Shit. It's hard because it's like something that, since you're gone, you don't know if they would like the technology or not. You can kind of, you could try to assume based on what they liked before, but everybody changes as they grow older.
And this is his son, so you might think that if there were some vehement disapproval of, oh, well, he's talked about holograms to me before, and he's really interested in this. But, you know, he took me down and said, "Son, don't you ever fucking make me a hologram, or I'll haunt you from the grave."
Right? Like, I'm coming down for you. I got that young Grim Reaper with me, and you coming up back with me.
I will possess Trump, and the estate tax will go way up.
Jesus. All right. Hashtag politics.
Imagine just Frank Zappa possessing, like, Donald Trump just to hike taxes.
I'm with it. Fuck it. Why not?
Well-known socialist Frank Zappa.
Well-known Marxist. Neo-Marxist.
Anyways, so not to derail your point. You're still on that line where you don't know if it's, like, straight approval?
Yeah, that... This is the border. This is the line that I'm like, I don't know if I want to cross it or not, because... If he's super into it, it's almost as if you're giving your blessing, but you can't really give your blessing because there's, like, they didn't have the technology at the time.
Right.
Like, you can kind of fiddle with the idea, obviously, but we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Yeah.
You stumped me on that, so I don't have a clear answer for you, and I hate that because I'm German, I need to know everything.
I think it's something that we can evolve, or like, not know if you'll evolve.
Yeah,
we might
evolve
the same position, but we might have to see how this is, because I think there's also a line where
how's the performance
is the performance. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, and it, you know what? I'll give it a shot if they do go through with it. I think they plan to, and I will watch it and see how it is, and I might change my opinion on it or I might not. So we will.
Most open-minded man in America.
Always. I mean, that's why I listen to Trap. Legend.
Chris Cornell has a posthumous collaboration with Johnny Cash that is going to be on Forever Words, which is like double posthumy.
Yeah, that's strange.
Double posthumy.
I mean, that would be like a friend. Wow, that's only people who listen to classical music are going to get that joke. So like Franz Liszt and Frédéric Chopin both created a duet, and now that comes out now, it's like, whoa, what the fuck? All right.
Well, it's not exactly that. So,
yeah.
Basically, a bunch of artists created songs from Cash's unused poetry, lyrics, letters, things like that. And so it's Johnny Cash's lyrics performed by Chris Cornell.
Okay,
so
okay,
be
so that's
like
different.
If Chopin had some unreleased Beethoven pieces, and was like, let's go.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, I mean, actually, and that has happened. Different artists, I think I've said that before with like Chopin's work. He said some pieces he didn't want to get transcribed when he was alive, but people made it when transcribed it and released it when he after he died. So it's kind of similar to that. Okay, this makes more sense. Now you put that in that context.
All right, so now we have episode 37. No Chill Island, the fifth. No Chill Island, V. This was pretty good. Some bleeps in there. This is where Migos were cheated out of the Grammy win, allegedly. And we shitted on the Chainsmokers because they are literal garbage, trash, and terrible and should stop making music. Good clip. Very good, fun episode. I remember that very well. I remember stopping my audio and going, I need to stop recording podcasts for the next years.
Okay, so next story. Migos claims the Grammys cheated them out of a best album win. So Migos claims that...
Fuck them.
They should have won...
You know who got cheated out of a damn fucking rap album is Vince Staples. What the hell? What are everybody doing? Fuck everybody.
Vince Staples, unfortunately, wasn't nominated for the Grammys. We talked about him on the audio.
Exactly!
But then...
Because nobody has good taste. Migos' album is 2 hours long. What do you want when they made the same song 15 times? What the hell?
Hold. So, we're talking about Culture 1, for the record. So, Culture 1 was shorter, to be fair. So, this is the 2017 Grammys. So, this would have...
That is true.
Culture would have been competing against Damn, which is like... that's funny.
This is... sorry, but Damn. Literally.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, there's a lot of opinion because, you know, Trap has
damn,
its...
Damn, art. It's goddamn shame.
Right? Like, I'm sorry you released a rap album in the same year that Kendrick Lamar did. Better luck this year. And honestly... Even though Culture 2 is the length of, honestly, it might be the length of, it's almost, Culture 2 is very nearly the length of Black Panther.
Damn.
By 30 minutes.
It's the length of a fucking opera.
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude.
It is largely an improvement over Culture 1, and so I wouldn't be surprised if they got a Grammy nomination. And I genuinely think, although we had this disagreement in our review, that Migos does a lot different with Trap in Culture 2. There's just, like, so much filler that it's annoying. But nevertheless, Culture's like, oh, we'll be fucking back next year. There's nothing bigger than the fucking Culture album this whole last year. They're scared to handle the three-headed monster. The Culture will go on forever. We'll never RIP the Culture.
Choke on your own dreadlocks.
Oh shit! Oh man!
Stupid Migos. That doesn't get bleeped either. That's perfectly fine.
that's allowable. I can't do anything about that. Okay, so honestly, when I saw this headline that the Chainsmokers had released a new song about the media, especially considering like the last person to do this was Taylor Swift, and I love it when artists like want to attack the media and act as though like the media is their biggest distraction. It's like, oh, I can't wait to stick down the Chainsmokers' throat. It's gonna be amazing. Damn. Like, I can't wait for this shit, and so. They released a song by saying, cannot wait for you to hear tomorrow's new song. Really proud of this one. And yes, it has a drop. And even your EDM, which is a bit more forgiving to the Chainsmokers than I think anyone deserves to be, said the drop is underwhelming and the discordant and lead sense are nearly off-putting.
Finally, somebody's actually understanding how crappy they are.
No, but they ultimately came out and liked it. But honestly, it's the same whiny, douchey white guy bullshit, and it's just so like. I honestly can't wait for. I'm gonna stop myself. No, I'm not. I can't wait for these chuggers to get fucking like. like fucking 3 minutes into the fucking race war, because I can't wait for these like in their testicles. Like I want the I literally want like, so you know what, since we're talking about this fucking shooting over here, what if we get, I'm all for maintaining Jesus gun Christ. Control if we get a never make music again, then that'll be fine, Trump. Do nothing about gun control as long as the chain smokers die.
Now we have episode number 39, which is the time that I was in Florida and I died, and Tammy was on as a guest, and her and Dan have a very interesting conversation about making playlists, and it was a very good conversation about how different playlists, different makeups, how to make music coherent, how to do to make specific moods and everything. And I quite enjoyed it, even though I wasn't on it. But it's nice to hear my own podcast actually with someone else on it, someone else's spin. So I think you guys should definitely check that out. We have some other clips within there as well. So
let's go talk about your actual playlists themselves.
Okay, so I think last time one of the playlists that I shared was Smooth Melts, which has been my most curated and favorite playlist to date. But this past 1 week, and we kind of touched upon this at least when in our discussion of Moby and his album, is what I was paying attention to when I was listening to the music, which is how much the instrumentalism and overall sound of that music relates to my mood and to my emotions. Because all of my playlists are based on extremely specific moods and feelings, and a lot of times that's based onto a vision or a scene that pops into my head. Like Breezy Drives is a playlist to listen to when I'm driving in a car, but the specific image in that sense that I get is driving down the Pacific Coast Highway in like a convertible or something. Not really a convertible, because I don't think my hair could handle that. I'd go blind. cannot count the number of times that my hair has hit my eyes. But no, the point
especially
is
when your hair's longer.
The point is that's the sort of summer vibe I get when I think of Breezy Drives. And the music on that playlist is something that I can see myself just closing my eyes and I see, you know, this amazing view. I see warm weather, I see good company, and that's the song that I'm listening to in that moment. And that's why it goes on the playlist. My most recent playlist actually works for two different moods. So I've been pretty depressed and dissociated lately. And sometimes music just feels too unbearably upbeat. And I can't relate to it. I need something that numbs me out. And up until now, my go-to albums, or my go-to artists, it would be anything Radiohead, right? Radiohead's great for dissociation. Thank you, Tom York. I love you.
Dissociation approved.
Yeah. And the other is one of my favorite albums, Record by 07, which is actually on this playlist. So this playlist is called Mellow But Happy, but it's actually this weird little emoji thing I found on the internet. So it's actually a huge pain to tell my Google Home to play this album, this playlist, because it doesn't know what to do about the emoji that's in the title.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Thank you. But for the rest of the people who might want to look for this, I mean, you could just easily find it from my profile itself.
Which I'll link to in the description.
Yeah. Oh, and as we were speaking, I just made the playlist public just to make sure you can find it. Anyways, the description for this is, it's for that limbo state when I'm on the fence between feeling sad and happy. And these are songs that make me feel less lonely either way. So this past 1 week, as I mentioned, depressed, dissociated, I felt really lost and alone. And it was really hard to feel like there was anybody in my life that I felt like I could at least confide in who was there in that same sort of state as me or could provide me physical comfort in that moment. You know, I mean, we're all busy. We have our own lives and we have shit to do, and life doesn't stop time doesn't stop.
Especially in college.
Especially in college.
Super high intensity environment we're in right now.
Exactly. And for me, it was like, you know, I don't want to, you know, constantly require, or not constantly, but I don't want to be dependent on the presence of my friends. And so, you know, these are songs that when I listen to them, I can relate to whether I feel numb and dissociated, or if I'm starting to feel that fog sort of lift. Fog is what I use to describe my depressed state.
No, I think that's a very universal way to describe it.
Yeah. So as soon as that fog starts to kind of clear up a little bit and it feels like, okay, you know, maybe the rain's going to subside and the sun's going to peek out for just a couple of hours. These are songs where I'm like, okay, I'm starting to feel better. I've had a good cry. Let's go. My mood is improving. Yeah, this is stuff that I can listen to and I can cry, or I can listen to and I can feel just a tiny bit hopeful about my week or my day. So yeah, it's got a, you know, these songs have to work on two different levels for two different states of mind. And that's what makes it so challenging to add music to this playlist. And I think besides that is I also, sometimes I feel like I might even be romanticizing the state of depression, because it's, you know, like, how can a song that's so sad be so happy?
Well, that's a, if I can pause for you for just a moment, I think that is a thing that people kind of gripe with, because when you, let's say hypothetically, get into a breakup, you go to like certain breakup songs, like songs about like in that state, and you go to those songs willingly, even though you don't like that situation, but you go to that for like a sense of comfort. And I think what you're kind of describing is very along the same line. So it's not like you're romanticizing it or wallowing in it. It's like, that's kind of the point. It's music
it's
is a
to
very
validate
healthy,
the pain that we're experiencing.
Yeah, it's a way to validate it, and it's one of the healthy and like beautiful ways to do that.
Yeah, and so I think for me, that making this playlist for this past, you know, week, I think I started it around Monday, has just been entirely about this cathartic experience. Yeah, being able to let some of that out and, you know, being able to feel a little less lonely, because, you know, whether it's the artists, the lyrics, the music that resonates with me, but it reminds me that, okay, I can find comfort in this. You know, I'm sad, but so is this other person. I'm kidding.
No, that's misery not loves point, company. It really is absolutely true.
But yeah, and then what I love about all of these songs is I can also see myself listening to them on a good day.
And that's so, a really, I think that's a versatile thing. And you have two playlists, right? You're gonna share?
Well, I could share another one.
No, like you don't have to.
But this is the one that I've mostly, well, I shared another playlist on Facebook.
But wait, before you get into that, you do have another one, right?
What do you mean?
Or like, you, let me just continue. That sense of trying to, that's fun. That sense of trying to make things cohesive and put things together, that's something I'm trying to work on with one of my playlists as well. And maybe that's why I was asking if you have another one to describe, or if you don't, I could describe the one that I'm like sharing. I don't even know if I've told you this, but I'm going to share one of mine.
No, and, you haven't.
Okay, well, this is live.
Let's hear it. Let's hear
do it.
It
live. But we could either do that after you're talking about your next one or now. But I want to talk
about
specifically
that. We don't have to talk about my next one. Let's go.
One and one. Okay, so I'm going to turn what I want to do with my playlist I played last night at my party, which is called 22 Savage, which I'm going to release and make it public now. It's like...
Wait, it's called 20...
22 Savage.
Okay.
20 and then 2 spelled T-O-O. And then there's aesthetics to it.
And because so, it's your 22nd birthday.
Yeah. and 2 Savage brand. So
yeah,
you gave like a very deep and like... You put a lot out there in what your playlist was. And mine is like not like that deep. And so I feel like kind of like it's inappropriate. But...
To juxtapose it to
that.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Like, I don't want to, like, dishonor that.
I think the whole point, well, okay, I do have another tidbit about playlists, but I'm going to share that afterwards. But the whole point that I'm trying to make about what making playlists is that it's a personal experience. that's why I appreciate being able to see playlists from artists and see what they listen to, see playlists that they've made. Because for me, it's my form of emotional expression. And for you, you know, whether it's a pun in a title and being witty, that's another form of you expressing something. It doesn't always have to be a nuanced expression. I mean, I have playlists called bangers. I have sex playlists. I have other, you know, playlists for other shit. For other
various events. Yeah.
Exactly. So it doesn't always have to be deep and sad.
So, yeah, this is... And I have playlists that are from... I think a lot of my playlists are functional.
Mm-hmm.
Because music is... Like... As I've started listening to this podcast, I'm exposing myself to more music. But to me, when I listen to music recreationally, not for this podcast, it's kind of a functional thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's something I have on in the background that I can enjoy listening to, or, mm-hmm. like, have for parties like this is, or like this was, this playlist is, or for work or whatever. And so what I want this playlist to be is, like, party music, but going through genres. And so... What I didn't get to have the time to do last night, but what I'm going to do once I, like, release this playlist is,
transitions?
Kind of that, but, like, transitioning genres that are very hard to transition. So it's going to be around genres that I'm kind of, like, into right now,
mm-hmm.
which is, like...
Are you going to Gaslamp Killer it?
No. and interesting thing about Gaslamp Killer, he's canceled. But, what I'm talking about is, like, I want to transition from, like, alternative into, like, kind of electronic, and then into rap, and then into trap. And I have songs that do that pretty well. Or, like, trap and then into rap. And so I have songs that do that pretty well,
mm-hmm.
but it's kind of, those are, that's, like, kind of a ride to do. Genre-wise. And so I guess what would you recommend to me without even seeing my playlist, because that can get into a lot of, like, hands-on, we're looking at things that doesn't make sense in the conversation,
mm-hmm.
but, like, what are tips you could give me for, or give anyone else who's trying to make a playlist functional, but it involves different genres, but still make it work, like, one song plays into another?
Glad you asked that, actually, because I spent a lot of time before sharing my Mellow playlist just obsessing over the order. And one thing that I often, so for me, when I make a playlist, not even actively working on a playlist, but if I'm listening to a song and, you know, that scene or that mood or that vision strikes me again in that moment, and I'm like, okay, this is a playlist where this song belongs. In that moment, I'll just add the playlist on at the end. And when I go back and I'm trying to actually transition between songs, it's exhausting to have to listen to a track in its entirety over and over again. And then...
That's the phase I'm kind of in right now.
Exactly. And, I mean, sometimes you kind of have to stick with it, because that's what I had to do a couple nights ago with another one of my playlists. And it got a little bit cumbersome after a while, because I felt like I'm not able to just sit here and appreciate the music.
I just hate the dragging.
Yeah, no, you're just going to have to... Just going to have to live with it. But... Anyways, the point that I was making is sometimes what I like to do is I'll listen to the first, I'll just speed listen through it, you know? Swing the cursor from how the song starts, how the middle of it sounds, and how it gets towards the end.
That's how Sean listens to music sometimes too.
Yeah, but I mean, for me, it's like, that's not how I'm listening to music necessarily, like, as much as it is just rearranging.
In a utilitarian sense of, like, I'm listening to music for a... difference from a function, but, like, as a utility, like, I'm trying to get something from this music.
Yeah, or for me, if it's, like, I'm trying to remember a song and I don't remember the name of the song.
Yeah, that's another
And
thing.
I'm trying to look for a specific segment of the song. You just, you know, like, skip around a bit
Manual
until
Shazam.
You find that. Exactly. So I think that that could be really helpful, where instead of thinking about how am I going to transition from rap to trap and back and forth, just put a couple of songs out there in whatever order. And the one thing that you do want to do within a chunk of songs is make sure that if you're going back and forth between how fast or slow a song is, because sometimes I have playlists where they start to become a little bit upbeat and then they start to go back down. And I had this problem with another one of my playlists that I did share, was Gentle Mornings, where it starts off slow, but I feel like sometimes other listeners might not have the patience for too many slow songs in one going. And I try to have a dynamic throughout the entire playlist. And then sometimes I get to the end of a playlist and I'm like, you know what? This is it. It's reached its journey and it's reached its peak. So one funny little thing I actually did is my Gentle Mornings playlist starts off pretty slow. And I made it so that by the time it gets to the end, I can actually feel like transitioning into my bangers playlist. So I go from waking up to, you know, trying to build up the energy for this day and wanting a really, really mellow hype to, all right, I'm ready. Let's party.
So now we're going deep state playlists. So we're going into how you turn your playlists and how you lead them into other playlists.
Yeah, I reached a new level that night.
Yeah, thanks, Tammy, for being on. That was pretty cool.
This is a late night cast on a Sunday night when the episode of the podcast is supposed to go up on Sundays, by the way. And this is a late No Chill Island. So I really don't know why we keep doing this. We're never going to get advertisers.
Well, if we get advertisers, then we record back on Saturdays when it's a lot easier.
Well, if we get advertisers, we'll... Do you think if we get advertised, we should slow down on No Chill Island or just hit the gas?
I say pump the brakes, dog.
So you gotta sell out if we get advertised?
Oh, I'm selling out heavy, you know that. Goddamn. Jesus. I'll wear me undies, shop a blue apron, do all that shit. I even make my own Squarespace site.
At least that's one thing I like about what we're doing is that we'll be upfront the moment we sell out.
Oh, god, yeah. I'll be like, here's Blue Apron. They're paying me to say this, and that's good. Here you go. Get your free vegan meal now.
Except they didn't pay you to say that, so let's move on.
No, exactly. Fuck you until you pay me. Then I like you.
Eagles look all the same, that's all I know.
Now we have number episode 56, which is Ariana Grande. Not allowed to talk about that, so we'll move on.
Ariana Grande is headlining Amazon's Music Prime Day. Which
really
happened already, actually.
Revolution. No, Prime Day's tomorrow.
No. It's Music Prime Day. Oh. It's different from regular Prime Day. So we're recording this on the 15th. Regular Prime Day is going to be on the 16th. But Music Prime Day was on July 11th. And so Amazon had their own music show, which featured a lot of artists I really never heard. Alicia Cara, Julia Michaels. I think I've heard Julia Michaels before, actually. Kelsey Ballerini.
Someone really needs to stop Bezos.
This is capitalism, but Ariana Grande was headlining that show.
Well, she's whatever, fake.
Wow, we can't do that.
That's my last little bit. I actually have no beef with Ariana Grande. Her music's just super bland and
I feel like
the whole Manchester thing, she got like super butthurt over, which I understand, but at the same time, you should get over that shit.
How you say someone gets butthurt over a terrorist attack?
Yeah, it was just a terrorist attack, dog. Some people got killed at your concert. Fucking get over it. You better make that shit work.
You got butthurt over a terrorist attack. You get triggered by a terrorist attack, Snowflake. Jesus! We're done! Stop listening to this podcast!
I told you it was a bad idea!
This has been Audio Face. Don't follow us anywhere! Sean, this is gonna get discovered and you're done! Cheers! Goodbye! Today's ranking system. We're going to be choosing airship accidents.
Fucking shit.
So, on Wikipedia right now, I have a list of airship injuries. Most of these are, like, by blimp, by the way.
Well, you said airship. Airship is blimp.
Yeah. I'm going to rank them by deaths.
Do you want plane or airship?
Airship accidents. On Wikipedia. Yeah, that's the one.
I'm going to pop up the same thing.
And then you want to sort it by deaths right there?
Oh, fuck.
One more time. I'm gonna click it. There you go. All right, so I'm going to rank this album. Shenandoah. It was a U.S. Navy blimp that 14 died, 29 survived.
in 1925. So, and that was a good year. What I mean by all of that in ranking the album, using our arbitrary ranking system, because our album rankings mean nothing, you should really listen to the subjective opinions that we are putting forth about the albums, because that's more important than any ranking system. But the reason I say that is because, again, it's not the worst disaster. But 14 Killed is still a disaster.
I'm saying this is... they don't have a name. But Zeppelin LZ-104.
All right. From 7th of April, 1918, near the end of First World War.
Explodes over Malta for reasons unknown, killing 21.
Yeah. 21.
That's why I picked it, because of 21.
Killing 21.
That's literally why I'm like, is there one that has 21? Yes, 21 deaths.
You can angle that into saying that 21 was pushed to the very end of one part of the album. By that point, you would have stopped listening.
And I did listen. I stopped listening at the end of it. So there you go. Episode number 66. So this is Hassan, Dan's coworker, and at Hassan the Hun on the social medias, where he's talking about SoundCloud Rap and defend SoundCloud Rap. I remember having to listen to this episode and not throw my phone against the wall. So this is his thing of why he likes SoundCloud Rap, which artists he listens to, which ones he thinks are good and bad. And him and Dan talk about his emo phases as well, their emo phases back in middle school and whatnot. And I remember that quite well, with Dan wearing all black one day, and I go, oh no, it's happening. Yeah, it's actually a very interesting episode. I think you guys should listen to it and have someone else's perspective on why they enjoy SoundCloud Rap, because I know Dan and I always rail on it so much. So, yeah, enjoy.
Alright, let's get into the good stuff. So, how did you start to come across, like, Lil Pump and SoundCloud Rap as a whole? Because you're always trying to get your finger on the pulse of culture, so... How did you come upon this? Because I've always known SoundCloud as being in the background, yeah, a democratizing place where people can publish music. But it was only in the past 5 years or so that's really become this hub for
truly the free market of
electronic
ideas.
Music, the newest of the newest of rap music, the newest of trap music. And of course, it's very experimental, goes in different places, it's very indie. But 2016, 17, 18, SoundCloud Rap really became a thing. It had iterations. I mean, people called it mumble rap before, and it's taken some shit, and it's taken some shit especially on Audioface. Sean is probably seething just listening to this conversation, but nevertheless, what was your intro to SoundCloud Rap, and what, like, got you hooked?
I mean, so technically it's like, what is it? I think it's considered like a micro genre.
It's a subgenre.
Yeah, I personally, My personal experience obviously differs from, like, the actual history of SoundCloud Rap or mumble rap and how it started on SoundCloud. But my personal history, yeah, as a consumer, I think it was Vines, really. I believe it was Denzel Curry, maybe, who had that very famous song that people used to use in Vines. And let me just, like, double check on this as well while I'm talking.
No, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Denzel Curry. I forget which song it was.
I Am The One.
Yeah, I Am The One, yeah. And immediately, I'm sure a lot of people recognize that, because it's literally, those are the words. It's like, I am the one. I don't even know what the words are. But a lot of people started using that in Vines, and I was like, wow, I kind of like this song. And given the nature of Vine, that kind of, it was just perfect for virality. And then, and I hate to admit this, but I think... It could have, I believe it probably was XXXTentacion, and that was around the same time as, like, Lil Uzi Vert was coming up, a little bit earlier than that. He was also a part of the SoundCloud crew, which...
Savage.
Yeah, and 21 Savage. But they obviously separated themselves fairly quickly from, like, the SoundCloud genre, because their voices were different. Their cadence was different. Even Lil Uzi Vert was drastically different than
SoundCloud, like, became more of a stepping stone for the artists you're mentioning, Uzi, Savage, or a couple others, rather than something they wanted to take on as an identity.
Yeah, versus a lot of the rappers still maintain that identity now, I feel like, especially in the aftermath of, like, XXXTentacion's passing. There's still a bunch of artists who continue on with that style. But yeah, for me, and the reason why I mentioned Lil Uzi Vert is, and also XXXTentacion, is because I think they blended genres into one another, and that created a unique sound that I, as a young angsty teen who enjoyed, like, not emo music per se, but like other alternative.
Oh, don't be ashamed. I love emo music.
No. I think emo music is great. As a matter of fact, I think it's like finding its resurgence right now. But I personally can't take on that identity because, like, it's just mostly like Panic at the Disco that I listen to. You know what I mean? It's not. I can't sit here and be like, oh, I loved. I can't even name any. Yeah, 30 Seconds.
That's not really emo, but
yeah, we're butchering the emo conversation already, and people will get very upset at me because their fans are very passionate. Yeah. Which is part of the reason why I'm reluctant to say that, like, I was ever an emo kid. I really wasn't. Maybe Avenged Sevenfold.
What? Hollywood Undead. Hollywood Undead. I listen to a lot of Hollywood Undead.
I don't even know what that is. Evanescence is my intro to emo. as far as I ventured out.
That's how you got blackpilled?
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. okay, so... Where was I? Yeah, I just liked it. I appreciated that it was merging genres into one another. It's part of the reason why, despite being a horrible person, I liked Tekashi 69's music as well, because it's not just like regular... It wasn't just rap. As a matter of fact, it took poetry almost out of the equation. It wasn't about lyrics, but it was more so about an infusion of like a lot of drill and a lot of drill music and even trap music infused seamlessly into rap music that I guess the pioneers of that would be considered like Waka Flocka Flame, right? And Chief yeah. Keef and those people who I also enjoyed back in the day. So that's probably why it was like a perfect gateway bridge for me, right, to start enjoying SoundCloud rap.
And then we have episode 70, a bonus episode about Kanye West. Almost said something bad, but we're good. The infamous What's Up with Kanye. It's a big clip of Dan and Annie trying to figure out what on earth is going on with Kanye. It's two big Kanye fans dissecting his previous acts and him now, of basically going off the rails bonkers and trying to figure out exactly why and what makes it good, what makes it bad, and what the future is for him as a musician, really, because him as a famous person is going strong, but his music, not that great.
Let's get to the big question that we've kind of been trying to poke at this whole time. What is going on with him? Oh, God.
What? Let's just do pure speculation.
No, I mean, like, I'm not saying you have the definitive answer.
Do you
expect
himself
speculation?
To answer that?
In my opinion, he needs Jay-Z's therapist.
Yeah, no, real shit, that's true. Jay-Z is a good-ass therapist. Have you read the...
Jay-Z's therapist is putting in hours.
Have you read the New York Times interview of Jay-Z? Wait, I think you even showed me that. That was such a good album. Not album, wow. The therapy sessions. It's not like the blueprint, it's like the therapy sessions.
Some would argue that the later periods of, like, 444 combined with Beyoncé's, like, last two albums are kind of like an outer therapy session for the Carters.
Hmm, good for them. Hand that over to the Kardashian West.
That first of all, you might get that industrial you're looking for, but it's not going to make a lot of sense, and it's going to have a lot of Travis Scott.
Sicko mode!
It's lit! Yeah! Oh, I was just going to say, I think Sean can hear me, like, wants to slit my throat.
back to the money question. It's like, what's going on with a boy? Okay, I'm going to get all, like, moody and shit. And
please do.
I think that Kanye West, his existence and his artistic career is a very good metaphor for the blooming of America, and especially, like, the mythology of America, right? Like, the self-made man, like, started from the bottom and moving his way to the top, and also, like, you know, that, like, mega independent vibes and all that, like, this herald of, like, just the independent man of glory. And But, like, that was America, and that was what we celebrated, and now that is all decaying. Like, our entire culture that was built on those things are decaying because we thought about ourselves so much that we forgot to help our whole country in general, right? And it's just almost poetic that Kanye's decay is so parallel to, like, this political and social decay of America. Granted, it's been happening, it's been there, but, like, now it's very open, and now our president is, you know, somebody like that. And that gives Kanye agency to feel like he can be somebody like that and be president, and, you know, that's his whole, like, presidential spiel is, like, you know, a man like Trump can be president, and he can be all, like, outspoken and crazy and, like, free-thinking, quote-unquote, then, like, so can I, and, like, free-loving and all that stuff. We gotta love everybody and all that. He kind of sounds like the same people that are, like, misguided by, like, new age spirituality and, like, you know, are ignorant but go to Burning Man sort of stuff, where it's like, it's all about free love, man, we just gotta love one another and spread that around and everything will be cured. And but, like,
people who are really, like, into the horoscopes a little bit too much.
Hey, so am I. But at least I know how to identify slavery. So out of those sort of, like, forms of thinking comes a lot of danger, because then it creates all this, like, cushiony ignorance and, like, thinking that you can, like, move through the world in this sort of, like, rose-colored way and, like, accept all the atrocities that are happening, because if we just all started, like, loving each other a little more and, like, not actually trying to fight for, like, changes and, you know, make sure that people are treated well, then, yeah, like, it can be problematic too. And that's kind of what Kanye is going through, is this very, like, very, very, you know, this very, very deep end of the spectrum, where instead of, like, thinking that, like, chaos will make the world better, like, love and, like, cheeriness will make the world better, but, like, both sides will not make the world better at all, and he's just lost in that sunken place.
Right. I think you said something really interesting when you talked about how he saw Donald Trump as a model for what he could do. And I think this goes a little bit further back, because remember, there's a pre-Kardashian Kanye.
And I like that
we've
Kanye.
Always kind of
I missed
we've always
Kanye.
a lot of people like that Kanye. A lot of people feel like around that time he peaked or sort of saw a decline, because, and this is partially I'm inserting my speculation, but this is what a lot of other people are saying too, that he saw the fame and kind of the phenomenon that Kardashians had built for himself and started chasing that almost more than he was chasing his music. And so it became more of a status symbol. What kind of shoes can I have? What kind of brand can I be? Before, what kind of musician can I be? Was the previous drive he had. And so there's almost this, I was about to kind of use an outdated in this context really bad term, but there's kind of this Kanye sees what he wants to model himself off of, and then he just kind of reacts and models that and for himself and does that.
Well, also, like, in slight defense of their relationship, Kanye has always been, like, a person who, you know, has valued family. Like, he values his mom so much, and then the loss of his mom tore him apart. So, like, the Kardashians being both, like, such a matriarchal family and also, like, a tight-knit family. I wouldn't say they're the model family at all, but, like, it's this, like, family system. And basically what Ye was touching upon was that, like, he had that fame and he realized that it wasn't fulfilling him, but, like, being a dad and, like, having a wife and, like, you know, raising a kid, that was, like, something more fulfilling to him. So, like, if he wants to get married...
Which was so articulately referenced on I Thought About Killing You.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I don't mind the fact that, like, he married Kim Kardashian. If anything, like, those two sort of see the world in a very similar way, which is shallow and sort of obsessive about their image. But I don't think that even, like, the Kardashians brought him to the point where he is today. Like, of course, Kim, like, has tried a according to, you know, sources and all that, Kim has tried to make him, like, realize what he's doing with all the, like, Trump comments, but he's not even, like, listening to her as well. So, like, I'm not even going to put the blame on the Kardashians as much as I want to.
I'm not blaming it so much because, like, I'm not saying... I'm saying that part of the Kardashian empire is kind of just being bombastic for, or like being flashy or insane for the views, for the clicks. And that's something that seems to be driving Kanye, that he wants to surprise and be provocative because that's what gets attention. And that's kind of what the entire brand is. It's attention. And I then mean, once you go for substance, which is what he used to deliver for like his music, I would say, then it like that starts to drop off. And then for there, it's kind of that kind of constant seeking for attention that gravitates him even further towards people like Trump.
Should we make like a new audio face award for shortest breath control or what?
And then we have my personal favorite of the entire year, episode 76, which is the 1975, where Sean, that would be me, is right. I never get to be smug. I never, ever, ever get to be smug to Dan. But this time, I've been yelling at him all year that this might be the best record of the year, but we have to wait. I told him, you have to wait until I can talk about this album because I want to see what you're saying, because Love If You Made It, it's probably the best song of the year. And to my, much of my jubilation, Dan goes, well, he's right. And it happened. And this is beautiful. And it was amazing. It was really good to actually really agree on a song and agree on an artist that Dan hasn't listened to and get him into it as well. So this is a great clip for all you Sean fans, which are like two in the world. So thank you for the, for being the real ones. And when you can shape talk on Dan, take it up, because Dan's Ron tour is never over.
And on a brief inquiry to online relationships. So you gave your take, here's mine. As I was starting to listen to this album in the beginning, for the 1975, I'm fine with them. I'm a little annoyed that the 1975 is now three songs and it's going to be as many songs as however many albums they release, probably.
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, the point is, if you have a version that's a favorite of this song that you like, it's going to be very annoying to find it on most music apps.
Oh, that's very true.
So they should really consider, like, in parentheses, like, labeling them or something, but I don't know.
I know.
Whatever. Anyways.
No, it's their fucking...
It's fine.
It's the hipster stuff.
It's how they intro this album, so sure. With Give Yourself a Try, that's like how you construct an album if you're doing a whole work. You kind of go with the kind of explosion, this is what you're getting into kind of song. And for that purpose, it goes kind of well. Two Time, I actually really enjoyed. I wonder, what was the song in the... that you wanted me to really listen to see if I would like?
I think, well, there's two. There's Two Time and It's Not Living If It's Not With You.
Interesting.
It's Not Living If It's Not With You.
Yes, I know exactly that song. Okay.
Those are the two I thought you would really enjoy. Two Time, I'm right.
Yeah.
Two Time's a good.
Because it's just like poppy and almost like Damon Albarn-ish.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of construction.
It's fun. It's
the kind of song I would think of as a good, like, apology for two-timing in relationships. I'm the kind of person to apologize for that kind of thing. But as the album goes all the way through, like, two about sincerity is scary.
Okay.
I was kind of just sitting in my car driving and just getting, like, I'm so upset. Because I'm going to have to go on the podcast this weekend and tell Sean that he was right. And he's gonna have this like fucking
smug as fuck.
He's gonna have this smug face. As fuck. And he's gonna just be like this for weeks. It's gonna be annoying. And I'm just like, God damn it, they've made a beautiful album. Now we'll all get to my criticisms.
That's fine. There's definitely criticisms.
I think around the middle of the album, it started to get kind of ham-fisted with the point it was trying to make with the overall thing. But I had to catch myself and go, this is a critique I have with a lot of great albums I've liked before, where it's trying to make a point, and sometimes that point is made like...
We both did that with A Moon-Shaped Pool.
Yeah, A Moon-Shaped Pool. I'm going to talk about this about other albums I'm going to talk about later on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it does that in the middle of the album with I Like America and America Likes Me. It's cheeky. I appreciate it, especially just being the person who does this podcast. But exactly. It's definitely like...
I'm like 1975 listens to Audio Face.
1975 listens to Audio Face. We have some geographic metric data, so we know where you live.
Thanks, Maddie.
And we know we have listeners in England.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to y'all, and apparently some of them are in 1975. We like you too. I actually think my favorite song on the album is Sincerity Is Scary. Because I get to be smug and say that funk is back.
Well, funk, that's why I knew you would like that song, because it is funky as fuck. When I listen to that single, I go, Danny, you need to listen to the single. You're like, no, I don't. And I go, you're going to love the single. No, I'm not. You're going to love the single.
I did it to uphold the integrity of the show to make sure that we weren't dick riding. And you would do the same for me if you knew it. But now that we've listened to the album, I can say that it's a very good song. And I'm going to have to deal with this for like 2 months. You don't understand how horrible this is.
It's going to be like a year. Then they have another album coming out next year too. And it was another masterpiece, which I low-key hoped not, because then they're on the Radiohead track. I'm like, I don't want another
They're on the Radiohead track right now. I know. Like, honestly,
because if they're on the Radiohead track, that means they're going to have fucking Kid A. And Kid A is...
Okay, so hold on.
I want to keep going.
So let me finish.
Modest podcast.
I do think this album is top heavy, and that's my other big complaint about it. I think all the great songs are, if I'm stop being nitpicky, Inside Your Mind. I honestly didn't like It's Not Living that much. It's kind of...
Inside Your Mind is a... Ooh.
It holds...
With the guitar?
Yeah. It's Not Living If It's Not With You holds the same place in my mind as To Binge does. Like, I appreciate it as a song, but in an album, I don't love where it fits in relation to the album. As far as, like, how To Binge was in Plastic Beach. I also agree with you that mine, and so that's why, like, that combination of more things I was able to complain about near the end of the album kind of, once I sullied the experience, but it was like, I definitely, like... I was very, very happy in the beginning of the album, and then very, very, in the middle of the album. But, to be clear, this is one of those hmms that is, like, miles and miles past pretty much anything that's been released this year.
Yeah.
So now it's just, like, we're nitpicking.
No, we're being super nitpicky, because we don't want to seem like we're dick riding.
And so...
NME can go fuck themselves.
Because, and this is something that Sean told me about before, NME is doing, like, a lot of articles about the 1975, almost more than they were doing about the,
Fucking Gallagher twins. Twins, the cunts.
But you said that the enemy was trashing the 1975 as recently as 2014.
It gave them the worst band ever award. And then 2 years later,
and now every
they
time
put their dick back in their pants and said, oh wait, I Like It When You Sleep is best album of the year.
And now anytime Matty Healy sneezes, NME has 3 articles about it.
Seriously, so they can go fuck themselves.
Anyways.
But they did tell me that something popped up in their merch, I did buy it, so I give you, you're at like -1,000 woke, I give you -999 woke now.
A brief inquiry on our relationships. I'm actually going to break with Audio Face tradition and just use a different ranking system, because I have a perfect way to explain how I feel about this album.
Okay.
Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships is 0.95 of a Demon Days.
0.95.
Okay. So like 95, like
95%.
Actually, I'd say no, 0.99% of a Demon Days.
That's just fucking saying something.
Like
Jesus.
All of the same complaints about being like ham-fisted with its like message and kind of going a little bit too into itself are kind of the complaints I have about Demon Days. But it's still a fantastic album, top to bottom. Being top heavy is another thing I can say about Demon Days.
Demon Days is definitely top. It's this almost actually identical, because the last two songs of Demon Days are some of my two favorites on it, and it gets you like that. It has strings at the end because of the song Demon Days.
And as time went on, I got a more of an appreciation for the latter songs on that.
I think a similar thing will happen.
Again, I don't think so with mine, honestly.
But no, mine. I think that's for both of us. I think that's just the only song I wish wasn't there.
Yeah. Even my comparison of It's Not Living to Binge, for me to compare anything to Gorillaz is a very like high up thing.
Like,
I think It's Not Living reminds me a lot of MGMT.
Yeah, like Congratulations era MGMT.
Yeah.
Like 2010, yeah.
Which is, again, interesting how they put all those songs in there. But to use the actual rating system, I would say, or the one we're using for this episode, this is an Trump shaking the Argentinian president's hand and just walking away.
That's good shit. I was gonna say I'm gonna break from the G20 summit and say fuck you. This is three countries. This is this is five countries. This is Canada, France, Britain, the USSR, and Germany dividing up Germany. Or sorry, and the US dividing up Germany after the end of World War II because they all love each other so much. Because this is a political statement. And that was a political statement. And that's how much they love each other. And this album is as close to an In Rainbows as you can get. And In Rainbows isn't my favorite Radiohead album. I think it's the best, but it's not my favorite, as I stated before. But I think this is the closest album I've heard to an In Rainbows since In Rainbows came out.
Wow.
Which is saying something. Because I just listened to this album. I listened to it in my car with my friend, with Justin. The album came out 10 seconds after a hockey game, we're like, I'm taking a long way home, and we listen to it, and like, in the album, I just sat in front of my door with Jess, and I go, wow, they did it.
Like I said, I'm annoyed that I had to, like...
Yep, it's beautiful.
Tell Sean he was right, Alan, on video.
Video proof, motherfucker. Also, look at your Snapchat and never say I don't work hard for this goddamn podcast.
Jesus Christ.
I'm literally.
Of course, Sean sends me a Snapchat during the show.
I'm literally holding my charger in the most awkward angle to keep it charged so we can have a nice podcast, and this is incredibly uncomfortable. But.
Okay, well, I won't make it too miserable on you. We're already almost halfway through, anyway.
It's had to be a shorter episode because you're in neoliberal studios and you gotta go take down the banks and stuff, so. Allegedly.
Have to go take down the banks, edit a video, and somehow fly back home for class. But
no, we'll keep. Anyways, we had this agreement. We'll keep the banks for 5 years, or so. Once retirement is gone, then we get rid of the banks.
Right, that's right.
Shout out to Jan Guinness.
Hold.
Shout out to Jan Guinness Industries. But I would say I don't work hard for this podcast, which. Right now, you probably hear me sniffling a little bit because I have the worst stuffy nose in my history of an adult youth. I don't know why. I feel normal, but I can't breathe, which is really annoying, especially for someone who has a broken nose. But I'm still doing this tiny little intro to clips, intro to the bests of, because I do it for the people, you know? We do it for the people. And, never say I don't work hard for this damn podcast, but... I hope you enjoyed the clips. It was fun. Last year was crazy. Up and down year for music and culture and everything. Had some great ones, had some bad ones, as you've all heard. And 2019, it's going to be wild. 2019 is going to be incredibly unpredictable. And we're going to do four albums this first review of 2019, which should hopefully be on Tuesday, or if not, in the middle of the week, and we'll let you guys know. Follow our accounts always to get the latest up to date. So at AudioFacePod on all the social medias, on Instagram, Twitter. I don't know if we have a Facebook page. No, we are on YouTube at AudioFacePod, and so you can watch some of our video clips as well, which are always fun, so you can actually see what we look like and put a face to the voice. And also always follow them, so that way you know when we do our posts, when we have this podcast, when we go on air and everything. So this is it's a lot of fun. Thank you guys for listening. Please subscribe and honestly rate us on all the stuff. I hate doing this crap, but it helps us know if we're doing a good job, if we're doing a bad job, we should just retire or keep going. And yeah, see you guys in 2019. It's gonna be a wild ride. Got some good and bad, as always. So stay tuned. 2019 is gonna be a fun year.
This is a podcast not about. This is a podcast where I publicly, where two best friends publicly harangue each other for the amusement of a couple dozen people.